So the concluding parts of Yamaraj's instructions to his, the results of his instructions to his followers, Yamadutas. And it is explained in this verse that they were fully convinced that Yamaraj was not the supreme, although thinking like that originally, and that the supreme was Krishna, and his devotees are worshipable, as good as Krishna. Here it is explained that the Yamadutas, when we think of a Yamaduta, or even we see pictures, they have a very fearsome countenance. They are quite really horrible to look at. Sometimes you wonder what kind of living entity gets that position. What's their karma? Interesting. But it's not a nice service. It's a service of punishment. And it's done under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, coming through his fully qualified representative, the Lord of Death himself, who is probably so powerful that it's impossible to describe his power. It says that Yamaraj is so powerful that he is as good as the second super soul. He has the quality of what we say, Trikala Gyan. He knows past, present, and future. And he knows the hearts of all living entities. Amazing for a deva, huh? That's a really empowered deva. Plus, he's so powerful, no one can stand against him. Even Ravana was fighting with him, and he was going to kill Ravana, but he decided not to, because he knew in the future Ram would come and kill him. He's very powerful. And his followers are fully endowed with his mercy to carry out his service. And what is his service? It's not very nice. He has to punish living entities. Even if a person is punishable, to have that service to punish someone is not a very nice thing. Even if they deserve it. You always think, let somebody else do it. I can't do it. It's just too hard for a devotee to think of punishing anybody, because a devotee is by nature kind, even to people who are fallen and demoniac, evil. And a devotee is, of course, a devotee, when Krishna punishes them, the devotees become happy, but the devotee can never think of doing that himself. The devotee by nature is very gentle, soft, kind, caring, and as it says, is happy when others are happy and unhappy when others are unhappy. It's the nature of a Vaishnava. But here, the Yamadutas, they have to do this. Very difficult service. They have to punish. But here, after hearing the glories of the Lord and the glories of the Lord's devotees, it says they actually develop fear. Can you imagine the Yamadutas fearful? They are by nature fearsome and cause fear to others and are fully empowered by the Lord of Death to carry out. But after hearing how glorious the Vaishnava is, it says here they fear him and don't even look again. It's pretty amazing to understand how Yamaraj was able to communicate the glories of Krishna and his devotees in such a way that the devotees are worshipable. And we have this story of Jagai and Madai. When Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda showed mercy to Jagai and Madai, it was a fear that spread throughout the entire creation. How the Lord had shown mercy in such a way that never before such mercy had been shown to two most despicable, cruel, hard-hearted, insensitive, demoniac, mentally created persons. They were so bad. And Yamaraj's servant, who's the leader of his he keeps scores. His name is Chitragupta. He keeps account of what people do, sinfully and piously. He keeps a record. And the sinful activities in Jagai and Madai were so great that Chitragupta had hired another 100 scribes to keep the records. And they were working, as was described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, 24 hours a day, and they were 1 month behind in keeping the records. And they were on the verge of exhaustion because they couldn't keep up with the sins of Jagai and Madai. It says Lord Chaitanya was performing a pastime every second. Every second there was a transcendental pastime coming from the Lord. And Jagai and Madai were performing a sinful activity every second. They were equal to Lord Chaitanya on the opposite side. Such sinful persons. And when Yamaraj learned how the Lord had forgiven them and made them Vaishnavas, he came to the scene just to see. He personally came. And when he saw, he fainted. He lost consciousness. I mean, Yamaraj, I mean, he's not a sentimental person. He's sober. He's got a good, he's a strong mind. And he's a very qualified person. He's probably the most soberest person you could possibly think of amongst the devas. Still, he lost consciousness. Fainted in ecstasy and in amazement to hear, to see Lord Chaitanya's mercy upon these two people. And they couldn't revive him. They tried everything. They thought he was finished, the Lord of Death. But somehow they did. He came back to life after some time. But this is how great Lord Chaitanya is, that he can transform even the most fallen into the most glorious. If we look in the history, even in our Krishna consciousness movement, we see, and we might even examine our own lives and see just what we were before, how merciful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is and how qualified he is to give that mercy in such a way that one can turn a sinner into a great saint. Amazing. And that's the power of the Lord's mercy. And it says in the scriptures, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, amazing statement, it says that this pastime of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda showing mercy to Jagai and Madai is not a story from the scriptures. It's not another pastime from the scriptures. It's not a historical event. Well, what is it? The question is posed. What is it? What actually, how can we describe it? And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gives the answer. He said, it's a common feature of Lord Chaitanya's mercy and Lord Nityananda's mercy that's going on today. They're still saving the Jagais and Madais. Us. Sometimes we think, you know, I'm pretty good. Yes, because of the Lord's mercy. We are a product of the Lord's mercy, that's all. And that's the glory of a devotee. A devotee always understands in all cases that the mercy of the Lord is everything. We may make our arrangements to do so many things and execute devotional service, but as it says, Bhava Mangala Thakur, he writes, beautiful statement, my dear Lord, with your mercy, what is the use of others? And my dear Lord, without your mercy, what is the use of others? He ends the statement in both. Only the Lord's mercy is what I want, because that is mercy is everything. And what is his mercy? His mercy comes in different forms. But what is the supreme mercy of all mercy? Is the opportunity to render devotional service. And that mercy is readily available. There's so many chances to render service. Krishna is very kind. That's his mercy. And to associate with Vaishnavas and to chant the holy names of the Lord. Yamaraj, in one of the verses, it's one of my favorite verses, I think it's verse number 22 of the same chapter. Etavam eva loke shmim pumsam dharma parasmita bhakti yoga bhagavati tam nama grahanadi bi. Yamaraj gives a beautiful statement. He's speaking to his servants. He says, devotional service beginning with chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. There's nothing higher. That devotional service is the only activity of the human being. Until one comes to the platform of devotional service, one, as Prabhupada said, one has not made it to human form of life yet. To having two hands and two legs and walking around and speaking is not a human being. It's some semblance of that. Real human life actually begins when one takes up the process of self-realization. And that is the words of the scriptures, and that's emphasized. And the essence of the essence is to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is the essence. Sometimes we forget how important it is to chant, or how important it is to chant with attention, with devotion, with enthusiasm, putting our everything into our japa. Life is such in Kali Yuga, and even in Vaishnava circles, that we have so many other things that are part of our life. And we sometimes tend to minimize the importance of chanting. But actually chanting is the basis of all one's development in Krishna consciousness. And the quality of that chanting really awakens the sweet taste that we're looking for. Because everyone is looking for taste. And that taste comes from the holy name. And chanting the holy name. Kirtan and japa. Some people ask sometimes, I just got the question, you know. Well, can we just do one of them? Well, of course, japa is mandatory because that's the instruction. But Lord Chaitanya's movement is Harinam Sankirtan. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. It all centers around chanting the holy names in kirtan. And that's the taste we're looking for. Sometimes, you know, we're wondering, well, I'm not happy in Krishna consciousness. Try chanting more. Just try chanting more. Prabhupada said, we can go anywhere, sit down, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy. We have no problem. We're not dependent on any circumstance for being Krishna conscious. Because we have the mercy of the holy name. And therefore we can chant anywhere, any place, any time, and be satisfied. But we're not looking for satisfaction. We're looking for sweetness. We want that ruchi, that ras, that nectar. As we, devotees are nectar seekers, right? Devotees like to enjoy even more than the karmis. Karmis don't even know how to enjoy. They think getting drunk and laying in the street and being picked up by the police is enjoyment. Or just, you know, going to see some movie that just bewilders your brain. Come out, what was that all about? I don't know. What was the movie about? I don't know, but the special effects were great. There was a lot of lights and a lot of sounds, but I don't know what the plot was about. You know, nowadays, people don't even know how to enjoy. It's like painful. And they call it happiness. But devotees know how to enjoy, yes? Right? Prasad, kirtan, right? Nice philosophy. You know, doing various things for Krishna. So devotees are like, they're really nectar seekers. They're like what is called, they're called chikora birds or chitaka bird. Chitaka bird is interesting, but chikora birds are birds that are just, they go after lotus flowers. They only want lotus flowers. No other flower can satisfy the chikora bird. And of course, Krishna is considered compared to a lotus flower, and the gopis are considered compared to chikora birds. Sri Radha Gokalananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Gornitai ki jai. Now that's nectar. To have that darshan is nectar. Krishna, in playing on his flute, standing there with Srimati Radharani, who's giving out so much blessings and mercy. And Ram is just like, his hand is extended as far as he can push it out. Here, take more blessings. Come on, take. Chant Hare Krishna. Yeah. Gornitai are in the center, leading. They're forward because they're in kirtan. They're dancing. And so the Lord enjoys kirtan more than we do. And so he's inviting us into the kirtan of the holy name. So the devotees, we're nectar seekers. We just love Krishna consciousness because it's the sweetness of life. There's no sweetness in life, in material life. Someone asked Prabhupada, is there any happiness in material life? Prabhupada said, no, nothing. But what about the mode of goodness? What about persons who come to the mode of goodness? Aren't they happy, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, if you come to the mode of goodness, then you're in knowledge, and your knowledge tells you there's no happiness. That's the product of the mode of goodness. But Prabhupada, people are happy. Anybody who says they're happy in this world, they're, what is he, what do they call them? He says they're an animal. That's all. But people say they're happy. They can say anything, but Krishna says you're not. Krishna says this place is suffering. And you say you're happy. But who should we believe? The pig, he thinks he's happy too, right? He sits in the mud, oink, oink. He's got a little smile on his face. You ever see pigs? They have these little smiles. Right? Because they're eating nice stool. And they have all kinds of varieties of stool. If you're really a privileged pig, they have more kinds of stool. Yeah. Wet stool and dry stool. Wet stool is the best for pigs. They like that. Dry stool is just like, you know, it's like prasadam that gone old, you know, got a little old. They get the one. And they just wallow in the mud. And the pig is just very adept at sex life with his daughter, his mother, everything. He's just expert. And he's smiling. And he's having a good time. Indra was the king of heaven. He committed an offense. He fell from his post and he was forced to take a birth as a pig. And then there was nobody to manage the heavenly kingdoms. So they said to Brahma, you got to bring him back. You know, and there's nobody managing up here. So Brahma said, all right. So he went down. He said, Indra, you know, you're forgiven. Come on back. We need you in the heavenly planets. He said, what do you mean? This is nice. I got my wife, oink, oink. Just see. She's fat like me. And I got my old little piglets. And mud. Best mud. And this nice stool. This is great. This is ecstasy. This is like Vaikuntha for a pig. And... And, you know, Brahma was saying, come on, Indra, you know, wake up, jeev jago, you're an illusion. And Indra is saying, you're not getting me back to the heavens, this is heaven right here. So Brahma decided to get a little stronger in his persuasion. So he called the farmer, and the farmer came along and took his wife and took his children, and then Indra came to his senses. So that's the happiness in this world. People are just wallowing in the illusion, and as soon as something changes, then the reality of their existence becomes apparent. It becomes apparent as soon as something changes, and people are always in fear. But a devotee, devotee's happy. A devotee's satisfied. A devotee's never unsatisfied. A devotee may struggle, but in his heart, or in her heart, they're always feeling the satisfaction of having the opportunity to serve the Lord and to be able to chant the holy names. So despite all the difficulties, because when you try to preach, you take on difficulties, right? Because we're a preaching movement, yes? That's our mission. Our mission is to preach. Our mission is not just to open a temple and be comfortable and eat mahaprasadam and go to sleep. That's not our program. Our program is to preach. And so there's some difficulties. We have to deal with the non-devotees. We have to make them Krishna conscious. We have to arrange things in such a way to attract people. And we have to serve the Lord according to Prabhupada's standard for worship. So many things. We have to work hard. But it's not work. It's nectar. If you think it's work, someone said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we got so much work to do. Prabhupada said, there's no work. But Prabhupada, we're doing this. Prabhupada says, there's no work. It's all chanting, dancing, and feasting. He said, if you see it like that, and it's like that. But we have to have that vision that ultimately, you know, everything is the mercy of the Lord. And to be able to engage in devotional service, devotee is satisfied. Devotee is never unsatisfied. Because that's one of the qualifications, one of the austerities of the mind is satisfaction, to be satisfied. Krishna gives you a big feast, or Krishna forgets to feed you. A devotee is satisfied. Because it's Krishna's mercy, whatever way, whatever happens. Therefore, a devotee is satisfied, whatever way the mercy comes. Yeah? A devotee may try for things, but he or she never is in anxiety about the results. Everything happens by the mercy of the Lord. And if you think everything's happening by your own endeavor, then actually, according to scripture, it's not. Because so many things are required for any activity. The place, the time, the endeavor, the super soul's sanction, and the jiva's endeavor, ultimately. So a devotee's happy, satisfied. She's happy. And even if we find ourselves in a difficult situation. We were speaking about this last time I gave class here last week. How a devotee is grateful even if something goes wrong. They lose their health or they lose something. Why? Because they know ultimately that it's Krishna's mercy. But as long as we follow the process, everything is Krishna's mercy. If we don't follow the process, then it's Krishna's mercy in another way. That kind of mercy we don't want. That's the mercy of correctiveness. But it's still mercy. You can't say it's not mercy. It's like in the old days of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada. You know, people used to say, sometimes this idea, Krishna's mercy. Well, everything is Krishna's mercy. If I step on your toe, it's Krishna's mercy, Prabhu. If I run through the halls and I knock you over because I'm so enthusiastic to see the deities, that's Krishna's mercy. Yes, everything's Krishna. Yes, Krishna's mercy. Right? Krishna's mercy. Right? We always say that. Somebody stole my shoes, Krishna's mercy. My alarm clock didn't go off. That's really Krishna's mercy. Thank you, Krishna. So Prabhupada gave me a little clarification on this point. It happened in the early days. Devotees were in New York, and they were trying to buy a new building. And the agent who was selling it on behalf of the owner was somewhat of he was a slick operator. And Prabhupada could see he was, you know, like... not very, what we say, upfront. So Prabhupada had to go to the West Coast to open up the temples there. And he left the devotees to handle the business. So the man was saying to the devotees, you know, you guys are really, I really want you guys to have the building. It's really, you're doing nice work in this world, and therefore there's other buyers, but I'm going to make sure you get it. But in order to hold the building, I need $5,000 down payment. And Prabhupada said before he left, don't give him any money until the contract is signed. That was Prabhupada's instruction. Don't give him any money till the contract. And then the man came up and said, I need $5,000 up front, and then we can hold the building, and then I'll work with the owner to make sure you get it. So somehow or other, the devotees were convinced by this person. He was good. He was quite crafty. So they gave him the $5,000. And then they called Prabhupada to tell him on the phone. Prabhupada answered and said, yes. Prabhupada, we gave Mr. Price $5,000 to hold the building. Prabhupada said, stop payment on the check. So they went to the bank. The check was cashed. Too late. They went to Mr. Price's office. He had left. He cleaned out his office. $5,000 in 1966 is about almost $50,000 now in terms of its how money has changed. It was a lot of money in those days. So they called up Prabhupada. Prabhupada, we lost $5,000. But it was Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada said, no, it was your stupidity. I told you not to do it, and you didn't listen. So there's an example of how Krishna's mercy is not Krishna's mercy. It's when one goes outside of the instructions of the spiritual master, you might say it's another kind of Krishna's mercy. But it's not the mercy that we're looking for. It's the mercy that brings you back to Krishna's lotus feet. And so Prabhupada came to New York, and by his own endeavors, he recovered $2,000 of the money. Prabhupada did it personally. But they lost $3,000. So that was a strong lesson to learn. So devotees always are depending on the mercy of Krishna. And Prabhupada said, all success in Krishna consciousness depends on two things. Your endeavor and Krishna's mercy. If you think like Arjuna might have thought, well, you know, Krishna's on the chariot, therefore, why should I fight? But Krishna said, no, even though I'm here, still you have to fight. But still, your fighting is not the cause of the results. It's not going to make victory happen. What happens? It's my mercy. If Krishna is pleased by your endeavor, then the results come accordingly. If Krishna is not pleased, he may give you the results in a different way. Or he may not give you any results at all. So, what is the mindset? That a devotee should always try very hard to please Krishna and to please the devotees. That's the bottom line. That we make a tremendous effort. It says you have to act in devotional service like it depends on you, and you have to know it doesn't. Now, how do you do that? Very difficult. You have to act like it depends on you, but you have to know it depends on Krishna or the mercy of the spiritual master. So that's a certain mindset. And we see how sometimes in devotional service, we don't make hardly any efforts and things just happen. And other times we just try so hard and there's no results. So these are clear examples of how, you know, life in spiritual circles work. But still you have to try. Still you have to try. But when Krishna is pleased, then the path to devotional service is wide open. So that's the consciousness of a devotee, how to please Krishna and how to please Krishna's devotees. That's all. And Krishna's pleased by this sincere endeavor. I was listening to a tape the other day. You know, Prabhupada's interesting. If you listen to Prabhupada, he's just so amazing. Because he answers questions in different ways. The same question, according to time, place, and circumstance, or according to who's asking the question. So someone asked Prabhupada, what does it mean to be Krishna conscious? He didn't say how to become Krishna conscious. He said, what does it mean to be Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada said, to be always, always serving Krishna. He didn't say to always think about Krishna, always chant. He said to be always engaged in devotional service means to be Krishna conscious. He said that's Krishna consciousness. And someone asked Prabhupada another time, Prabhupada, what is the most important thing in devotional service? What is the most important thing? And Prabhupada said, desire. That was his answer. Desire. The quality of your desire is the means by which Krishna responds. So what is our desire? We should always take inventory. What is my desire? Is my desire to enjoy Krishna or my desire to serve Krishna? If I'm trying to enjoy, then we miss the opportunities to really enjoy. Enjoyment comes through surrender and service. And that's the highest form of devotional service. To try to create enjoyment for Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And devotional service is by nature and joyful. Susukam kartam avyayam. Rajavidya rajagunya pavitram idam uttamam vivaksavardamam dharmam susukam. Su and sukam means happy, but su means really happy or ecstasy. Susukam kartam avyayam. That this kartam, this activity, is fully endowed with ananda, bliss. And what is the way to tap into that? To do everything for the pleasure of Krishna. And to go for the nectar. We want to go for the nectar. And where's the nectar? Harinam, Sankirtan. Right? I was in Mayapur. Every night, for like 3-4 hours, we were having kirtan. And then it was happening in two different places. Shivaram Maharaj in the Vaishnava Academy, every night from 6:30 to 8, he would do bhajans, kirtans. A couple hundred people, 100, maybe more would be. And then from 8 o'clock to 8:30, he would read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Every night we were. And it was nectar, just hearing the glories of the Lord, chanting the glories of the Lord. And that's all. Every night, 2-3 hours of kirtan. And Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that, it's a long purport, but in the purport he says that in our temples we should have Harinam Sankirtan every night for 3 hours. We should adopt this program. And some temples are doing it once a week now, but it's the nectar. That's what we're looking for, that nectar, the holy name, yes. So the more we chant, the more we read these books, the more we engage in devotional service, the more we taste the nectar. But we shouldn't say, oh, I got so much service. Oh, man, no time for japa. No time for reading. Oh. No, we have, these things are essential. These are the most important things. You know, the essence of our Krishna consciousness centered around hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So we have so much service, yes, but it shouldn't be in such a way that it takes away from that. If we do, then just sit down and chant Hare Krishna, have kirtan, prasad, pravachan. You're the glories of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Practically, he's answering all questions, practically with the same answer, that your problem is you don't do enough Krishna Katha. The more you do Krishna Katha, the more you become Krishna conscious. The more you do chanting, the more you become Krishna conscious. Yes. Haribo. Okay. Anyway, I'm not trying to change your schedules. That's not my program. But we should go for the nectar. That's the nectar. We want that nectar. It's sweet. And it's found in associating with Vaishnavas and hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That's the essence.